Right, talking of questions that are hard to answer, let's look at this week's question of the week.
Yes, this week we've been bugging plants to find the answer to this question.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm from Oregon in the United States. I realize that animals have a very sophisticated immune system, T cells, lymph nodes, etc. But I've often wondered how plants protect themselves from bacteria and viruses. Thank you.
So, if a bacterium or virus were to enter a plant, what would happen? John Carr from the Department of Plant Sciences, the University of Cambridge.
Most microbes, like bacteria, fungi and viruses, can't infect a plant. But some, through evolution, have gained the ability to break down the initial barriers to infection, such as cell walls and so on, and these can cause disease. Now, in response, the plants have evolved the ability to respond to and recognize particular types of pathogens. So that's why some plants have resistance genes, and this is a sort of genetic mechanism of allowing them to pass on the ability to fight off particular diseases. Now, when this occurs, you might find that the cells which are initially infected with a virus or a bacteria or a fungus actually commit suicide. And this is one way of creating a kind of a scorched earth against the pathogen. But also it's a way of creating signals, lots more interesting chemicals that float out through the plant tissue. Sometimes plants will produce salicylic acid. It's the parent compound of aspirin, and it's a very, very powerful inducer of resistance. So if plants are producing salicylic acid, they're better able to fight off perhaps the first pathogen that attacked them. And remarkably, they're able to fight off an awful lot of other types of pathogen as well. So salicylic acid itself, the aspirin-like compound, can give rise to something called methyl salicylate, and this can float off to other plants and influence other plants so they become more resistant.
How does that compare to our immune system?
Hi, I'm Jonathan Jones. I work at the Sainsbury Laboratory in Norwich. Humans have two kinds of immune system. They've got the innate immune system, which recognise molecules that pathogens can't help making, like flagellin of bacteria, for example. And they've got the adaptive immune system, which involves antibodies, and that's what is triggered when you immunize against viruses, for example. Plants and many other sort of less sophisticated organisms have only an innate immune system. They can recognize molecules and pathogens and activate defense. The defense components involve making a sort of bleach, an active oxygen cocktail that inhibits microbes, and can culminate in cell death. They also implants make a lot of antimicrobial proteins that inhibit growth of microbes, but also many pathogens squirt proteins into plant cells to shut down that immune system. And then there's another immune system involving proteins inside the plant cell that recognizes when these molecules show up inside the plant cell and activate defense.
Plants do have a set of strategies to protect themselves against most types of nasty microbe, and one of them is producing bleach, or hydrogen peroxide, which simply kills the nasty pathogen. Also, work done by David Bolcombe at the University of Cambridge shows that plants do have an adaptive immune system too, since they can learn to recognise viral RNA, which is similar to the DNA in our own cells.
On our forum, there's been an epidemic of answers.
Boom.
DataBit added that many plant cell walls have reduced number of receptors to which baddies can attach themselves.
Well, so Maria Guimarães said that the stomata, those are pores on the underside of the leaves that the gas goes in and out of, they can actually close themselves off when there is a bacterial onslaught, for example.
And finally, Edster said that plants only have immunity when the district attorney accepts their plea bargain.
Oh, dear. Well, they say that both bugs and plants come from the sea, which leads us nicely to the next question of the week.
Hello, naked scientists. My name is Gary Brannigan from Salford near Manchester in the UK. My question is, while on holiday in Wales, I was looking over Cardigan Bay and I was wondering what dictates the frequency of the waves?
What defines how often a wave crashes into the shore? Can you help us answer question of the week? If so, drop us an email at chris@thenakedscientist.com or have a go at writing it on our forum, and that's at thenakedscientist.com/forum.
And it's also available as a podcast in its own right. You can get that through iTunes, look up question of the week, or from our website, nakedscientist.com/QOTW. Thank you very much to Diana O'Carroll. Well, that's it for this week. We're back at the same time next week. And we'll be talking about things that you can do to make your human body even better, and particularly to make it better after something's gone wrong with it. We'll be talking to scientists, for example, who have come up with a new way to make a cardiac patch that will heal up a heart that's been damaged by a heart attack. Thank you very much to our production team, Tom Simpkins, Mira Sinthalingam, Ben Vowsler, and our two wonderful co-presenters, Diana O'Carroll and Dave Ansell. See you next time.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.